What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. We got a whole lot to do today, and as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. And producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Good guest list today. Coming up in an hour 20 from now, we'll go around the NFL world from a gambling perspective with Nick Costos from BetQL. We will also chat with Terry Collins, the former manager of the Mets, at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, on the day where Carlos Correa was going to be a Giant, and then the next thing we know, in the middle of the night, he ends up becoming a member of the New York Mets. So we will chat with Terry Collins about that. And then in the final hour of the show, Andrew Whitworth from Amazon Video Prime is going to join us. So a whole lot to do today. I got to start off, though, in the National Football League. And I'm starting to think Super Bowl. I'm starting to think playoffs and who we trust. And I'm going to throw out just the way that we view trust in not only do you trust the quarterback individually, but also the team. And that means to win 3 games and be a champion, or if you need to win an extra game because you're playing wild card weekend, 4 games to be a champion. And in the AFC, the only team and quarterback duos combined that I trust, when you look at the potential playoff teams, right? You know, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, maybe Tennessee's going to get in, the Baltimore Ravens, the Chargers, the Dolphins. You got the Patriots, the Jets, the Jaguars in that conversation. To go win a Super Bowl in the AFC, I really only trust, when we're talking about individual quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. When I could see those individual quarterbacks playing at a great level and an elite level, and then also their teams holding up their end of the bargain. Now, you look at the teams that I left out. Tennessee. We don't even know if Ryan Tannehill, if you read the one Paul Kuharsky report today, is going to play again. And the Titans aren't a Super Bowl contending team. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is dealing with an injury right now. And until they close out a game in a big spot with how many second half collapses the Ravens have had this year, even though the Ravens are my Super Bowl pick before the season started, I'm going to remain skeptical of them. Los Angeles, I love Justin Herbert. I think the world of Justin Herbert. But it seems like for the Chargers, they just got to get into the playoffs. And I do think they'll get into the playoffs, but I don't have expectations for that team when we question if everything can come together. And they've disappointed so many times. I do think Herbert is a difference why they get into the playoffs. But I don't trust both the team to complement what the quarterback does week in and week out come playoff time, where if you drop one game, you then go home. Tua Tagovailoa is having a sensational year. I don't think the Dolphins are ready to win a Super Bowl. And I look at Tua as someone that, even though he bounced back in a big-time spot and has played some good football this year and bounced back up against Buffalo, the 2 weeks prior to that, in a spot where you're do or die, it just does concern me a little bit. And we've never seen him in a playoff game before. I don't think the Patriots and Jets are making the playoffs. And the Jaguars, it would just be a great accomplishment if they win the AFC South, which is definitely has a good chance of happening. But I'm not going to sit here and then tell you that Jacksonville's going to get that hot when they're 6-8 right now. The next thing you know, they're going to be in a Super Bowl. So in the AFC, I really only trust when it comes to the individual quarterback then corresponding with the team, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. And I'm trying to think, outside of that, when you then go into the NFC, and I think the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, but we have not seen Jalen Hurts have postseason success yet. And right now, Jalen Hurts is dealing with an injury. Now, he only had one opportunity last year, and what he's done early on as a starter is really impressive. And I think the Eagles have a loaded team, and they could definitely get to the Super Bowl, but will that Eagles team beat Buffalo? Will they beat Cincinnati? Will they beat Kansas City? Because that's the question that we propose. Who are the quarterbacks that you trust that you also then say, aha, I trust their team as well in order to go win a Super Bowl this year? You look at Minnesota. I don't trust their defense. I don't trust their quarterback in Kirk Cousins week in and week out. You look at a team like the 49ers, they have a really solid roster. But if Brock Purdy is your quarterback, even with how solid their roster is Brock Purdy beating Josh Allen? Is Brock Purdy beating Joe Burrow? Is Brock Purdy beating Patrick Mahomes? I have a tough time seeing that. You look at Dallas. I'm skeptical if Dallas gets to the Super Bowl. Dak Prescott, we saw him let that team down last year. You look at that team, it's a well-rounded team, but we were given all the words of praise to the Cowboys last year on how great they were supposed to be, and they let us down in the playoffs. And this is what I think is going to surprise a lot of people, Hickey. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because how can't you trust Tom Brady? But this year, I can't trust the team around Tom Brady for Tom Brady to be Tom Brady, because that offensive line is absolutely abysmal. The Giants, I know Daniel Jones played well last week up against the Commanders, but to go in a Super Bowl this year? I can't see that. Taylor Heineke, no. The Seahawks, I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. And the Lions, I'm expecting the Lions to make the playoffs, but a Super Bowl contender, get lost. So it's kind of wild, Hickey, where we currently sit here about to get Week 16 underway tomorrow night with the Jets and the Jaguars in a little matchup of Trevor Lawrence going up against Zach Wilson. And I could only really trust three quarterbacks right now where you also then really do believe in their team, where I could envision them winning it all this year. And you look at Mahomes, we've seen him win a Super Bowl before. You see Joe Burrow go take the Cincinnati Bengals to a Super Bowl a year ago. If I would have told you that before last year, that the Bengals would have been in the Super Bowl, you would have said, Zach, what are you sniffing? Like, what are you drinking? What are you sipping on? Go get a drug test. And that would be like inconceivable. It was inconceivable last year to even think they could make the playoffs. And that offensive line is starting to get better. They're starting to improve. They made the big moves in the offseason. It's finally starting to pay dividends. But I trust Joe Burrow. I trust Mahomes. And then Josh Allen, I know he's not won a Super Bowl yet. I know he's never appeared in a Super Bowl yet. But the way he played in the wild card round last year and the divisional round as well in that classic game against Kansas City, it wasn't his fault why they lost the game. So right now, the only three quarterbacks I feel great about in the playoffs where I say, okay, you give me three quarterbacks that you go pick to go win a Super Bowl this year with the teams that they're on, it's Mahomes, in no order, Joe Burrow, and then also Josh Allen. And I don't even know how much of a debate this is really open for. And then if I had to ask you who would be the fourth one, I guess you got to go in the NFC, because I just gave you three in the AFC. And if I had to give you one in the NFC, where quite frankly, we haven't seen any quarterback in the NFC have that great postseason success outside of Tom Brady, but the Buccaneers team is bad this year, and we don't even know if they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I think they will. We haven't seen any other quarterback in the NFC have those big moments yet in the postseason. Kirk Cousins' biggest moment in the postseason is a walk-off touchdown pass in New Orleans, and the next week, we all know that he threw a pick six to Richard Sherman. Jalen Hurts only had one postseason game so far. Dak Prescott has not had an abundance of postseason success. He never got to an NFC title game. And you can really draw the line in the sand right there. Like, I'm not going to start to tell you that the Packers are all of a sudden going to be in the playoffs. Hickey, is there anyone that you think I'm being unfair to? Is there anyone else that you would throw into that conversation? Because I was thinking about it today. And I think the irony of this is I've been so optimistic about Philadelphia pretty much all throughout the year. I said they were going to win the NFC East. And then early on, I said, okay, they're starting to look like they're the best team in the NFC. Right now, I would say they're the best team in football. But after this Jalen Hurts injury news, and we just don't know the real severity of it, he may or may not play this weekend. I'm leaning towards that he's not going to play. He did not practice today. It's an injury to his throwing shoulder. It doesn't seem like a big deal right now, but it does make me a little bit worried, even though the Eagles have a complete roster and their quarterback is playing great and he may be the MVP of the league, without knowing crystal clear where that health is at and it being a little bit ambiguous right now, it does start to concern me. So I look at the AFC, I would kind of be, I don't want to say shocked, but I would be surprised if either Mahomes, Burrow, or Allen don't hoist the Lombardi trophy this year. Because those individual quarterbacks are proven, and their teams are proven as well. The Bills have been in the playoffs the last few years. We know Kansas City has already won a Super Bowl, and then after that, they got to another Super Bowl. They lost in an AFC title game. And for the Bengals, they were in the Super Bowl a year ago. Looked like maybe they would have a rough patch earlier on in the season, and not only did they survive that, now they're thriving. So where are you at when we had this conversation right out of the gate?
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I love pushing back. I love arguing with it, but I can't. I mean, especially when you take into consideration not just the quarterback you trust, but the team. I said I would throw Tom Brady in there, but if it's also the stipulation of who you trust, quarterback and team, and you know me, I've been trying to will the Buccaneers, if you will, to win a playoff game, but in terms of Super Bowl contention, no shot in hell. So I can't put them in the conversation, so there's no one there.
And I'm the biggest Brady fan there is. Just individually, I don't see how there's any way Brady wins a Super Bowl this year. I just can't see it. And I know that there's always going to be this fear of, oh, it's Tom Brady. You never want to play Tom Brady in a postseason game. He's never out of a game, right? Obviously, you know, down by two touchdowns, or by, down by 10 points to the LOB, 28-3. We even saw last year, even though they lost the game, he made the comeback against the LA Rams before his defense choked it up because of a miscommunication on the defensive end. To me, Brady's, I just don't fear him this year. If I was an outside fan and I was going up against the Bucs and Tom Brady this year with what they have put on film, and this is different than when they were 7-5 or 7-6, whatever it was. I think it was 7-5 when they lost that game to Kansas City back in 2020. It was different because they had the pieces. They had, on paper, a good team. They just weren't clicking. This Bucs team right now, even though there's some similar names, they've got an old really quickly, and the most important thing, because I still think Brady could dominate, but that line is horrendous. We're talking about like third and fourth string guys before the season that are now starting for Tampa Bay. We're talking about backups. And if you don't protect Tom Brady, that's the way that you beat him. Because we've seen it. The Jets, when they won, they got to Tom Brady. The Giants, when they won, they got to Tom Brady. The Ravens, when they won, they got to Tom Brady. Even the Eagles, when Brady threw for 505 yards in a Super Bowl, the biggest play in the game was Brandon Graham strip-sacking Tom Brady. The way you beat Brady is to put him under duress. And this year, he has no time to really throw the football. So even though I'm the biggest believer in Brady, and I'm usually leading the charge, whatever anyone ever says, like, oh, he's falling off the cliff, or oh, he can't win, I still think Brady could be really great in this league. But I don't see any way. I don't see any shot how he wins the Super Bowl this year. And that wasn't my tone in 2020. But it's not really because of him. It's because of the team that's around him. Is there anyone else that you could even consider?
For this year, no. I think Justin Herbert and the Chargers could play their way into this conversation this time next year if they win a playoff game in, or maybe two, and go on a little bit of a run. Jalen Hurts, absolutely, and the Eagles could play their way into this conversation this time next year.
And they could win a Super Bowl this year, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you get to the Super Bowl, anything could happen in the Super Bowl.
And they're, as you mentioned, they are arguably the best well-rounded team right now in the NFL.
But if I say who the three quarterbacks that you trust the most or the three quarterbacks that you could see winning the Super Bowl this year, the first few that come to mind, it's Josh Allen, it's Patrick Mahomes, and it's Joe Burrow. Now, even though we're both in agreement on that, Hickey, and there's usually a lot of times where we disagree, and this has been expect the unexpected this year, whenever we start to think we have a grasp and we have an understanding of where everyone is at in the NFL, something crazy happens, whether it's a team starts to make a run, injuries pop up, as you know. Do you think we're in for a great postseason this year? And do you think our tone will change on some of these teams as the postseason does kind of, after like 1 week, it gets underway? Do you think this is going to be a year where we're going to really just get a bunch of surprises, and the way that we think it's going to happen is just not going to play on out? Because you would agree, right? Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, 49ers. Two of those teams, one from the AFC, obviously one from the NFC, and there's only two choices then that we gave you in the NFC. Two out of those five teams that we gave you will be in the Super Bowl this year.
I think you get an upset or two along the way, like, you know, Bills go down in round two, maybe, or the Chiefs go down
in
round two.
You always have it out for the Bills. You go right for the Bills first. Adam Ritchie's already tweeting right now. I can see the tweet already.
There's only three teams I can pick in the AFC. There's only two. Like, I think the five, I would be shocked if we don't have one of those, two of those five teams in the Super Bowl and one of them hoisting the Lombardi Trophy, obviously. But it's like, I think getting there, I think we could see an upset or two, but I think there's been it's not a big separation. There's definitely been a separation between those five and everyone else. You look at the bottom of the wild card on both sides. Like, wild card weekend, I don't think we'll get a lot of fireworks.
What would be your AFC and NFC title games right now? If you just had to give me the matchups on what your predictions would be. AFC title game, NFC title game, they are?
I will say 49ers, Eagles, and the NFC. That's
easier. I agree. If there's one team then that you think pulls off a little upset, who would it be? I think the Cowboys are better than the Vikings, but since the Cowboys the Cowboys are going to be a wild card team, I would think that the Cowboys probably get Philadelphia, right? In the second round. If Philadelphia is the one, they'll probably play the Cowboys in the second round, because in the first round matchup, it would be the Vikings right now, like up against the Commanders, and it would be the 49ers up against the Giants, and then you would get the Cowboys and, like, let's say the Buccaneers. So I would just assume that probably the Cowboys play divisional weekend in Philadelphia, and then you get Vikings and 49ers as the as a divisional round matchup as well. And I just think if one of those teams were going to go down, I think it's more likely that the Niners go down than the Eagles. So I would say maybe then the Vikings would be that third team, even though I think the Cowboys are better, if you could follow that logic.
No, I get it. With that logic, I'll say the Cowboys, I think. I think it's more like the Cowboys going to Philly and win than I do think it's the 49ers going to Minnesota and coming out with an L.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 49ers will just destroy that defense. So.
Yeah, but I do think the Eagles are better than the Niners. That's why I gave the edge to the Eagles in that. And then the AFC, what's your AFC championship game?
I will say...
I'm going Bills-Bengals.
Chiefs. I will say Chiefs-Bengals again.
Well, rematch. That can't happen in an AFC title game. If the Bengals are going to win, if the Bengals win their division.
We don't know the seeding. There's three games left.
Fair.
Are we going on right now?
Yeah, okay. So
that's what, they're gotcha. 1-2-3. I have no idea what
I was going more right now, but if the Bills, let's just say the Bills win out, they're going to be the one seed.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if
Chiefs
the Bills.
Out,
yes.
Bills drop one.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, if the Bills do win out, then they're the one seed. If that is the case, and that's why the one seed is so important, you'll avoid Kansas City or Cincinnati till the AFC title game. If that was the case, that the Bills were the one. So whoever is the one, I think, will automatically be in the AFC title game, and then it's who wins that 2-3 matchup. I think the Bills will be the one, Chiefs and Bengals will be 2-3, and if that's the case, isn't that like worst case scenario for Kansas City? Because you've beaten Buffalo, obviously, before in big moments. The Bengals, for
the last three times you played them, you haven't won. Now, I'm not saying that they can't win the game, but I do think the Bills and the Bengals are the two best teams in the AFC. So you're going, say that one more time, AFC Championship?
I'll go rematch, Bengals-Chiefs.
Okay. How many quarterbacks and then corresponding with their team do you trust to go win a Super Bowl this year? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we remember the great life of Franco Harris.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is a somber day across the NFL as we've lost one of the all-time greats, an absolute legend in Franco Harris, who passed away at the age of 72. Like, I don't need to list his accomplishments. When you hear the name Franco Harris, you know how great he was. You remember the Super Bowls. You remember him being a Super Bowl MVP, an offensive rookie of the year. You remember, obviously, the Immaculate Reception, and you know he was larger than life in Pittsburgh. And it's so sad, obviously, but it also kind of puts life into perspective because yesterday he was doing interviews, a ton of interviews, and he seemed healthy. He seemed very energetic. And then the next thing you know, he passes away, and it's obviously just incredibly sad. But then this weekend is the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, which was in his rookie season. And not only were they going to honor that going up against the Raiders in Pittsburgh, but they were going to retire his jersey. So I can't even imagine what his family's going through. And obviously, our condolences to his family and all Steelers fans and all really NFL fans, because a Hall of Famer, an iconic name, unfortunately has left us at the age of 72. I remember I talked to Franco Harris once, and it was during 2020 when we were doing those shows from home. And I wanted to play back a little bit of that conversation and just hear him from 2 years ago relive the Immaculate Reception when I got an opportunity to chat with him for the first time.
In the moment, you didn't know how it was going to be talked about forever, but what were you thinking after that game when you were in the locker room?
Well, you know what? I was still in a day not knowing what happened and really not knowing the scope of it at that time. I don't think any of us did. Any of us realized the scope of that play. We just didn't grasp it, that this was the first playoff game the Steelers ever won. Well, really, it was only the second time in their whole 40-year history they were in the playoffs. So we didn't grasp it because we were looking towards next week now, right? Because now we're going to the championship game. This is my rookie year, right? You know, I'm having this phenomenal year, that play. Now we're going to the championship game, the game before the Super Bowl. I mean, so much is happening. We didn't even think about it. And I tell people this, which is very surprising, that during that whole decade, we really didn't reflect on it. It's funny. We didn't reflect on it until it was all over, and then we start to look back. But while we were winning Super Bowls and doing what we were doing during the 70s, we never sat down and talked about last year or a couple years ago. You know, we just didn't reflect back at that time, which is interesting. But now that we're older, slowed down, I guess we reflect back. And like also, you know, looking at the 100-year history of the NFL, knowing that our 70s Steelers were a big part of it, and you look back and you say, this is where it all began. It all began right here, where, you know, like I always tell people, that Mr. Rooney left his box when Kenny Stabler scored. Mr. Rooney left his box to go downstairs because he thought they lost again, because the Steelers always found a way to lose. So he left his box and said, once again, we're going to lose. We were winning, but not anymore. And when he got off that elevator, he was a winner, because we found a way to win. And we went on to do that for the rest of the decade. So we changed the worst team in NFL history, which were the Steelers from 1933 to 1971, the worst team in history, to where we went to the best team in history in what happened in the 70s. So quite a transformation, and it was great being a part of that and knowing that that play helped kick off what we were about to do. And also tell Bradshaw, I said, Terry, you know, you have to remember that. What was your first touchdown ever in the playoffs?
The Immaculate Reception.
Yeah, it's so crazy to listen back to that. And you just hear him relive history. And Hickey, that was his rookie year. That's maybe the most iconic play, or one of the most iconic plays in NFL history. And that happens your rookie season. And look at the career that he went on to have afterwards, because, you know, now we always look at the Steelers like, oh, it's a great football team, legendary brand. They were a terrible team, an awful team. And you know what those Steelers teams just not only changed the direction of that franchise, but changed the entire NFL. So it's crazy that you had such a big moment in the annals of NFL history that will live on forever, and you then go on to see the rest of the Hall of Fame career that he was able to have, when that big moment, that moment that everyone, it's the first thing you think about with Franco Harris, happened during his rookie season.
It's truly incredible, right? You think it happens with all his great historic performances and all just his great, you know, great play. That was great. Oh, it happened later on. Franco Harris is already Franco Harris. It's like his, what, at that point,
the championships 16th, came after that.
17th,
yeah.
18th game of his career, making that play. It's incredible.
Let's hear some more audio. This is Ben Roethlisberger giving tribute to Franco Harris via the Ben Roethlisberger Show on YouTube.
So many times people say Franco was a legend, or a person was a legend. No, Franco is a legend and always will be. More than just on the football field, too. Such an unbelievable man, friend. So proud to be able to call him that. I'll never forget a time. I think it was at Charlie Batch's fundraiser event a long time ago. He and I got into a heated ping pong battle, both of us kind of going at it. One of those matches that like people kind of stop and are watching. And I'll never forget, every single time we saw each other, he would bring it up. Man, remember that ping pong game we played? And we need to do it again sometime. And so I just, Franco always had a hug for people, always had a handshake, always had a smile. And I think for the legend that he is on the football field, I think his legend off the field is even bigger. Such a humanitarian, such a big heart, such a loving, kind man. He will be forever missed, but he will always be in our hearts and will always be on our minds whenever you think of Steeler football. And not just the Immaculate Reception, which in itself is crazy, but that we're celebrating 50 years this weekend, but just the way he played the game, the love of the game, the love of his teammates. I've never heard one bad word about that man, and he will be missed.
We go from Ben Roethlisberger to Terry Bradshaw, who was on Good Morning Football earlier today, and Terry Bradshaw describes Franco Harris's lasting legacy.
I'm just going to remember Franco for being a great teammate. He was a great teammate. I was not a captain of the football team ever. Franco, I don't believe, was either. But he was a very vocal guy on the sidelines in the huddle.
And as Franco Harris relived with us back in 2020, that was the first playoff touchdown, passing touchdown of Terry Bradshaw's legendary playoff career was the immaculate reception. Here's Terry Bradshaw reliving the immaculate reception from his perspective earlier this morning on Good Morning Football.
Franco and I had just finished shooting a commercial on that play right there. And I talked him through it, and here's the pass. I avoid the sack. I fire it down the field. I see a black jersey. I don't know who it is. I hit the ground. I hear the crowd roar. I don't see the play. I'm saying to myself, well, that's a touchdown.
And then finally, let's hear from Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis and Franco Harris throughout the years were very, very close. Jerome Bettis, actually, on why he used to hate Franco Harris as a kid, this courtesy of First Take.
I remember Franco as just a wonderful individual. I mean, he was so special because he knew how to welcome you in. He was such a huge figure, but he knew how to just ingratiate himself with you to make you feel comfortable because you knew you were talking to a legend, but he was just so everyday. He was so kind, generous. I just remember him my first year in Pittsburgh, and he decided to have lunch with me. And I'm saying to myself, you know, who am I? I'm this young running back. And he befriended me, and I was just in awe of him. And I actually told him that I was not a Steeler fan growing up as a kid, and I actually hated him. And he laughed it off, and he said, well, now you got to love me. And that's when our relationship really took off. He was a special man, and I'll never forget him.
A Hall of Fame player, an iconic name, but also a legendary man. Franco Harris, unfortunately, passed away at the age of 72, and just absolutely crazy that this was the 50th. This weekend was the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception coming up. He was doing interviews just yesterday, and not only that, they were going to retire his jersey coming up this weekend as well. So our condolences to all of Franco's family members and obviously his fans, as there are many, many, many across the world. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you take CBD, listen up. Next Evo Naturals is the only CBD brand clinically proven to have 30 times faster absorption in the first 30 minutes. That's important because you can only get the benefits of CBD if your body can absorb it. Get smarter CBD from Next Evo Naturals. Go to nextevo.com and get a trial size of premium pure CBD gummies for free by adding them to any order of $40 or more and using code GUMMY15. That's NEXTEVO.com, promo code GUMMY15.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Lou in Rochester next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Lou, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. Very interesting and entertaining conversation you got going on about the five teams and probability that they may be the ones in Super Bowl. I completely agree with you, especially about your comment that anything could happen in the game because it's football. But it's hard to prognosticate because, like, Cincinnati's missing two of their defensive ends. It appears they got injured in weeks 14 and 15, and they're kind of longer week-to-week injuries. And it wouldn't surprise me if they actually did not win this week in New England. The other thing that I want to say is Franco Harris truly was a great player, and it seems that might have been a better person, so I pay my respects.
Well, Lou, I appreciate the phone call, and thank you as always. The point on the Bengals beating the Patriots this weekend, Hickey, I'm a huge Patriot fan, as you know, and I think everyone listening to the audience knows. I don't see, even with some of the injuries and the uncertainty, if you're going to have Sam Hubbard or Trey Hendrickson in the game, how does Joe Burrow not outscore? Like, if you want to talk about spread, different conversation. And the Bengals I saw were a 3.5-point favorite. But I don't see how Joe Burrow doesn't outscore Matt Patricia's offense in the year of 2022. If you get to 20 points, it seems like you'll be able to beat the Patriots. And I got to think, even though the receivers are a bit banged up, but I think they're getting healthy with Chase and Higgins and Boyd, even with them being in and out of the lineup, Joe Burrow, with also that run game too that they have and how they play complementary football, should be able to beat the Patriots and beat the Patriots pretty easily this weekend.
The one thing I don't like is the inconsistency, and I feel like we've been talking about that really all season long from the Bengals, where even you saw it on their game on Sunday against the Bucs. Like, first half, they were atrocious on offense.
Second and then they scored 34 and answered.
Now, it obviously helps when you have five straight turnovers on the Buccaneers all on their own end, so it doesn't, it converts, so it's a good offense, but still makes it easier. But, yeah, and they, you get 20, that's a magic number. I like that. 20 points, Mac Jones, Matt Patricia, they're not putting up 20 points.
The only thing that is concerning to me, and sorry, my headphones have been all funky all throughout the week, so I thought my microphone just went out because everything just totally cut out in my ears. But the only thing that could maybe concern me if I was a Bengals fan for this weekend, you got the Bills the following week on Monday night. Is this maybe the Bengals looking ahead? Could the Bengals maybe be looking ahead and forget kind of about the opponent? And then that turns into a trap game with New England.
If this was the Texans, yes. Even though the Patriots have been bad, I still think that they command
the
that
aura
attention.
Of Belichick.
And he will still get the respect he deserves of, hey, we got prepared. It's going to be a tough game, no matter if the roster's good or not.
Especially with a young coach like Zach Taylor. He's got to be in awe of Bill Belichick. So I would tend to agree with you. I just wanted to throw it out from that perspective as well. And Lou was calling in about our conversation from earlier in the show, where it feels like either Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And when it goes into you being 100% confident in the team and the quarterback, those are the first three names that I could rattle off with what we've seen so far. Now, the Eagles have a great team. The Eagles may be the best team in the NFL, and they'll probably be number one in my take five rankings. But now with this injury to Jalen Hurts, it just kind of makes you go, oh, hold on, wait a second. Even though I would still pick the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl, would you then pick them to beat the Bengals, the Bills, and the Chiefs? That's a little bit of a different conversation. By the way, we always, not that we do a ton of baseball on national radio, but since we're both Mets fans, and I think it's just a fascinating conversation, and it's fascinating how it went down, this Carlos Correa thing, for us, is one of the most exciting things ever. But then if I had to be objective about it, it's one of the most bizarre things ever. They had a press conference scheduled. And we all saw the announcement, there's a postponement in the press conference. You know, my first thought was he got sick. Like, that was my first thought. You know, maybe he got COVID or Maybe he's just under the weather and they had to delay the press conference. And then you find out that there was something with the medicals. And there was a differentiating opinion on the medicals between the Giants and the Correa camp. But they already had the press conference scheduled. And in the span of, what, 10 hours, 12 hours? You go from a press conference happening with Correa in San Francisco, then in the middle of the night, yesterday, leading into this morning, behind the scenes, Scott Boras is not even talking to the Giants anymore and was communicating with Steve Cohen, who was in Hawaii, and they get this deal done. And now Carlos Correa is going to be playing third base for the Mets. Lindor will be at short. McNeil will be at second. Jeff McNeil. And then Pete Alonso will be at first base. And that's a great infield. But the Mets right now are just spending and spending and spending. And they were in the outhouse with the Wilpons. Now they're in the penthouse with Steve Cohen. And I love an owner that's willing to do whatever it takes to win. Where you look, okay, they lost DeGrom this offseason. Then they bring in Justin Verlander. You know they have Scherzer from last year. They have Kodai Senga now. And we'll see how he does pitch coming over from Japan. They re-sign Brandon Nimmo, re-sign Edwin Diaz. Just right there, that's already an offseason where you're like, oh, this owner's all in. But it did feel like, especially with how good the NL East is with the Braves and with the Phillies and how good those lineups are, the Mets needed one more piece in their lineup. And they tried to get Carlos Correa. Then Correa got an offer that he just couldn't refuse, and the Mets didn't match with the Giants. But then the hiccup with the medicals, which is so ambiguous, opens the door back open for the Mets, and Steve Cohen and Scott Boras swoops in. And let me say this. Any baseball fan today that is saying, oh, it's not fair what Steve Cohen's doing, and Major League Baseball has to step in and do something, you're just jealous. Because you would be envious of Steve Cohen. And you're envious, and you would love him if he was your owner. And I was in that position before. Not that I know that the Wilpons, they get lambasted for not spending enough, and totally so. And then there's some other markets like, oh, well, the Wilpons actually spent a lot. But I was begging for the Mets to be a team whenever there was a free agent, you didn't fear about losing them because of finances. And now they have one of those great owners who is a Met fan first. Now he owns the team, and they're not going to win a World Series because Steve Cohen's not willing to just throw all the dollars out there, like $400 million. So I'm good with, as a Met fan, I'm good with what Steve Cohen's doing, obviously. But if you're a baseball fan and you got a problem with it, tough luck. Like if you're the Red Sox, how the Red Sox have allowed Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts to leave, and now the feeling is Rafael Devers, when he becomes a free agent, it's not likely they're going to be able to keep him as well. That's on the Red Sox. That's a big market. And I know not every owner has the money that Steve Cohen has. He's the richest owner in Major League Baseball, but it's not like these owners are crying for money. They all have money. Steve Cohen's just saying, spend it all because he wants to do whatever it takes to win. Hickey, the Correa switch. And I think he wanted to be on the Mets, and I wonder if maybe the disagreement on medicals where the Giants clearly had a problem with it, and maybe it could have been something that was rectified. I think Correa also wanted to be a Met, but then just that extra year and the extra money was just important to him with the Giants. And when the door opened back up, he said, yeah, I have no problem going back to the Mets. But it's really wild to follow all this.
Yeah, I'll say I didn't need any coffee this morning, that's for sure. And I woke up and saw the news that he has been signed by the Mets, which is unbelievable. But to
how'd you find
point,
out?
Friends through a group text. I saw like one or two messages. I'm like, what is this? And then I scrolled down my phone, saw the ESPN alert, and said, oh, okay, let's
I had like
go.
30 messages on my phone this morning, but I went to Twitter first, which I would usually go to the messages first. And I go to Twitter, I go, oh, that's got to be a fake tweet. But it was not fake. It was real, and it was spectacular.
It was real. To go back to your point really fast about anyone complaining, if you are complaining about Steve Cohen spending money, you are what's wrong with baseball, you are what's wrong with sports. He's doing what every fan dreams of.
Yeah.
Spending money, he's what,
like a drunken
what sports
sailor.
Are about. Competing and doing what it takes to win. And too many times we have seen owners in all sports put the bottom line ahead of the product on the field and ahead of winning. It's a problem. It's a real problem. No reason. Don't be mad at Steve Cohen. Be mad at whoever's owning your team that they don't have the same attitude.
I'm 100% with you. But what a wonderful day this is to be a Met fan. And what a crazy offseason this is. And I'd like to thank my pal, Jake the Snake, Jake DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom going to the Rangers and standing up there and saying, oh, I agree with this organization's winning vision. I think that ruffled some feathers with Steve Cohen. And you know this, when rich people get annoyed, they find a way to spend a lot of money to make those problems or any of those feelings go away. And that's what Steve Cohen, spend Stevie, spend, did today and has done, quite frankly, all offseason long. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will take a look ahead to the Week 16 schedule in the NFL and who is there some pressure on for this upcoming week.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's official. Xfinity has increased internet speeds again, and they deliver the fastest mobile service with 5G and millions of Wi-Fi hotspots. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.